Welcome to Body Matters Podcast, where we bring to you raw and inspiring content on all things to do with body positivity and eating disorder recovery.
But before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as the traditional people and traditional owners of this country. We acknowledge with gratitude First Nations communities for their continuing care and connection to the lands or waters with which they have protected for thousands of years. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and recognize that First Nations sovereignty was never ceded.
On this week's episode, I am super excited to be introducing our next special guest, previous group facilitator, Serena Dalton. Serena was lucky enough to be one of the group facilitators who ran workshops for the company Tomorrow Woman, which ran workshops across schools for young women around topics such as body image, mental health, and gender expectations, where the company has currently been able to run 2,037 workshops with 60,777 participants. On this week's episode, Serena shares some of the lived experiences from these girls around their challenges, including the impact of body image and how we can start the conversation around it. So please welcome our next special guest, Serena. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Serena.
Thanks, Jess. I'm happy to be here. Very excited.
Would you be able to provide a little background information about yourself and maybe speak about some things that you like to do to stay well?
Yeah, I'd love to. So a little bit about me. At the moment, I'm currently studying a Master's of Counselling, but the work that I was doing before I started my master's was predominantly in facilitation. So I was facilitating workshops with young women on kind of women empowerment. And then before that, I was also working in high schools facilitating workshops on sex and consent education. Before I got into facilitation though, my background is in theatre. So I studied a Bachelor of Arts and I majored in theatre and performance studies. And so I've always done a bit of drama. I've done quite a bit of acting and yeah, kind of probably after the pandemic, as much as I love the performing arts, I realized that I wanted to work more with people. And that's what kind of led me to kind of working in the mental health space. And in terms of what keeps me well, I think like two of my really important values are joy and play. So it's really important for me to have as much joy and play in my life. I think those are things that, you know, as you get older, aren't seen as important. But I find for me, that's what keeps me happy, keeps me well. And the ways that I kind of access play and joy is spending time with my close friends. They're quite funny. And so just allowing myself to be like my authentic self and banter with my friends and be a bit childlike. When I spend time in nature, I feel like that strangely kind of connects me to play, because I feel like I'm like, when I'm on a little bushwalk, I feel like I'm like a little fairy, like going for a walk. So that's what helps me. And then I think like if I'm really anxious or stressed or just feeling overwhelmed, journaling is really helpful, just to like get to kind of word vomit all my thoughts on paper really helps.
Yeah. Yes, I love that. So lighthearted and fun. And you probably get that play stuff from your drama experience. Did you find you used a lot of that?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's why I kept doing it for so long, because I just found so much joy in theatre, and I still love going to watch theatre, and I think just even being an audience member gives me that feeling. And I think you can get it from so many things, like if it's sport or if it's like music, whatever your thing is. Yeah.
What a great combination that makes you.
Oh, thanks, Jessie.
So each week on the podcast, we do like to ask our guests about a recent challenge that they've experienced and how they have managed to overcome it. Do you have one?
Yes, I do. I think as I'm now kind of doing my master's and it's pretty busy at the moment with assignments, I've noticed that anxiety and feeling overwhelmed have been a big challenge. Also, putting really high expectations on myself can sometimes be a little bit debilitating. And yeah, I was really feeling this on Saturday night. And because I'm actually writing an essay on cognitive behavioral therapy, I thought, why not do some CBT on myself? So because I love journaling so much, that's basically what I did. And then I took it one step further by kind of analyzing my thoughts. And that's not something that I always do, but I found that in this moment, because my anxious thoughts were so convincing and they were so loud, being able to kind of look at them in a critical way was really helpful. So there's this cool tool of writing down what is the evidence for those thoughts and then what is the evidence against. And that to me really helped challenge those negative beliefs. Yeah, and just kind of gave me that sense of hope and realizing that maybe those thoughts or those beliefs aren't as true as they feel.
Yes, definitely. Did you find that on the Saturday night it was like about wanting to allow yourself time to do things with friends and the anxiety while doing those things? Is that what you found the anxiety was connected to?
Not so much. I think because, I mean, usually I love going out on a Saturday night, don't get me wrong, but I think because this is a really busy week at uni, I had like decided, I was like, okay, I'm sacrificing my Saturday and I'm just going to be hitting the books. But I think because I had taken that time to study, I had put so much pressure on myself to like really perform and make the most of that time. And I think that just made me feel like really overwhelmed. And I think some of the thoughts were just like, you know, just kind of catastrophizing and just completely feeling overwhelmed. Like, you know, you're not going to get this done on time, or you're going to get a really bad grade. Or like, no matter how hard you try, like, it's just not going to be enough. Like, those were some of those negative thoughts that were quite pervasive. So being able to challenge that was really helpful.
And I think that's quite normal for a lot of people.
Yeah.
To experience that. Yeah, I also cut out kind of a weekend to do that. And you do feel like it can't be done. But, you know, when it does come to the time, you can find time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, with so many challenging moments in life, if it's, you know, you've got a lot on at work or you've got a lot at uni or school or whatever it is, it always comes together in the end. And it's always fine on the other side. I think it's just learning to kind of manage your emotions while you're going through the challenge, I think, is the hardest part, but very rewarding. Yeah.
Yes. And a lot of people can relate to that one. So could you talk a little bit about your experiences with teenagers or adolescents in schools?
Yeah, for sure. So in my previous role as a facilitator, I was working for an organisation called Tomorrow Woman, where we ran workshops around high schools in New South Wales on female empowerment, and kind of all different things would come up in conversation, like expectations in society and body image, mental health. And basically these workshops were opportunities for young people to talk about those topics really openly as a group and kind of talk about how do we feel about those things, how do we relate to some of those ideas, and also practicing skills to support each other, knowing that, you know, it's awesome having mental health professionals, but at the end of the day, not everyone can access mental health professionals depending on, you know, there are so many things that create barriers. And so how can we give the skills to young people to learn to kind of navigate those challenges by themselves and also kind of as a community and kind of help each other? Yeah. Yeah.
Especially for adolescents, because what goes on in the school is so much of that and not being able to access that support within the schools.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I guess, could you talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you were seeing coming up for young people?
Yeah, for sure. I think, especially working with young women, the top concern would probably be body image, which I were always found quite disheartening. It like didn't matter where you were, if you were in a rural town or if you were working in a metropolitan school. And as well with cultures as well, it doesn't matter what background the girls were from. Body image was always that kind of pervasive challenge that the girls spoke about. A lot of it centers around like comparison, feeling like they have to look a certain way. And then also just like spending a lot of time kind of almost observing their bodies and kind of being really aware of how their body looks throughout the day and that kind of impacting them.
And I guess what kind of happened when they heard that from each other?
Yeah, I think it was really special though, seeing that so almost everyone in the room could relate to those feelings. I think one of the biggest challenges with any kind of mental health is, you know, feeling alone and kind of feeling like you're not normal. So knowing that so many other people feel the way can just be like one thing to kind of normalize your experience and take the weight off of what you're experiencing. I think it also gives permission for people to talk about it, right? Because if we hear one person talk about it, then we go, okay, maybe I feel like I can talk about it as well. Yeah, so I think it was pretty powerful. I think especially, you know, in a social, in like a cohort, there's kind of social hierarchies going on and some girls might be afraid of each other. And I think for, you know, maybe like a popular girl to even like be really vulnerable and talk about her challenges can be really powerful for some of the girls who might be afraid of her and kind of see her as like as a perfect girl, when it's like it doesn't matter what you look like. So almost everyone when they're young are having these experiences. So I think that can be, that's really powerful.
Definitely. What were some of maybe the powerful kind of experiences that came about?
Yeah, for sure. There's one moment that kind of comes to mind was, yeah, I was doing a workshop in, I think it was in Coffs Harbour. We kind of go all around New South Wales. And yeah, this one girl who seemed really confident and one of the most confident girls in the room spoke about her body image, and she shared that, and I asked her how often does she think about her body, or when does she get, I think I was trying to find like a lightness in her experience, like, you know, when are moments when you don't worry about how you look, what are some things that kind of bring you out of your body? And it was, yeah, it was pretty disheartening to hear when she shared that the only moment she's not thinking about her body is when she's asleep. And I think that was like pretty confronting and was quite powerful for the room to hear, and just to kind of see how challenging those body image concerns can be for so many young people.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess, did they talk about the impact that that has on them around body image?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of young people would kind of share experiences of not wanting to go to the beach, especially in summer, because they're feeling too self-conscious in their body, and even sometimes not going to parties because they don't feel confident in their body. They feel like they don't have the right clothes to wear. And I think what it comes down to is a lot of young people just feel like they're almost missing out on life because those body image concerns can be so debilitating.
Yes, definitely. And did they have any other kind of pressing concerns, maybe around mental health or anything that was coming up for a lot of young people?
Sure. I think, you know, anxiety is a really big one. Definitely with it when it comes, it depends on the kind of the demographic and where you are. For some schools that have a culture that is more academic, those girls really feel that academic pressure, which generates a lot of anxiety for them. And then for, you know, maybe schools that are less academic, it's a lot of social anxiety and pressure. But I think school, no matter how kind of academic a school is, I think homework and assignments and exams generate quite a bit of anxiety for young people naturally, especially if they're doing those things for the first time. I know that's something I can relate to. That was probably when I was in high school, that was probably a big contributor to my stress. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And did they have like certain attitudes around maybe health in general that you saw?
Yeah. I think what is, I guess, like a positive is, I think a lot more girls seem more aware of mental health challenges and are kind of more open to talk about it. So I think that is like a positive, and I think a shift that we're seeing. And I think that just goes to show with, all like the changes in media and just like general discourse, people are just talking about these challenges more openly. So I think that's giving permission for young people to talk about it. But in terms of like your attitudes around health, not too many young people talked about it like in depth. I think also just like naturally in a group environment, we didn't want to go into too much detail of those challenges just because we wanted to make sure it was always a safe space. Yeah.
Yes. Was it just women?
So women or non-binary students, we look through the lens of women, kind of like the social category. But yeah.
How did you find the group dynamic was for the
The students and
yeah.
the students. Yeah, I think it's a bit of an art form, I would say, any kind of group work or group therapy or people enter the space feeling pretty anxious. There's a lot of apprehension. So it's about creating like a really fun and playful environment at the beginning. I always have music playing, and kids like and young people seem to love that because they're like, oh, this is not what we're used to when we have like a talk at the school. So I'm like playing music, I'm chatting with everyone. You've got to work the room and kind of make sure everyone's feeling comfortable. And then you kind of set agreements from the outset to make sure everyone's on the same page, talk about safety, disclosures, and then you kind of ease them into discussion. But yeah, it's a bit of an art form. We would call it the well. So you start off light, then you kind of slowly get into the more real stuff, the more challenging stuff, and then at the end you want it to be light again. So you're bringing them out of the well so that, when they leave and they go on to lunchtime or whatever they've got on, they're not sitting in that really like in those deep emotions. Yeah.
And I guess what were some of the tools that you used to kind of get them to go deeper into those emotions?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the main things we would do is we'd look at stats. So we'd look at like the impact of, expectations on women. So we go, what are the impacts of seeing all these kind of messages that you have to look and be a certain way? And we'd look at the stats. Some of them we'd look at, like, 70% of young people experience appearance-based bullying or teasing. And then we might ask people to raise their hand if they've ever had an experience where someone has made a comment on their body. One in three p young people are very concerned with their body image. And then I might ask, like, raise your hand if you have ever struggled with your body image in some way. And then just kind of allowing people to raise their hand without speaking kind of is like a gateway to conversation. And people kind of want to then share their experiences a little bit more. But it can be pretty daunting. Sometimes there's silence when we create spaces for people to talk. Like, does anyone want to speak to one of those stats? There's usually silence for a really long time. And then it takes one brave young person to kind of start the conversation. And then it's like a bit of a ripple effect from there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess could you talk a little bit about the bullying experiences that people would kind of talk about?
Yeah, it definitely comes up. And I think what's really sad is a lot of young people who struggle with their body image, when they talk about it, they're often like, they'll share a story of like maybe the first time they received such like a negative comment on their body, or maybe it's like a series of bullying about their body image and how that's kind of shaped their relationship with food, or feeling like not at home in their body, or feeling quite judgmental of their body. So yeah, it can often just be like at school. Unfortunately, sometimes it's like boys in their year groups kind of making a throwaway comment about their weight or how they look. and that having quite a harmful impact. Or sometimes it's family members commenting on food intake, like, oh, are you sure you need another slice of cake? Or don't you think you've had enough? Or like, you know, extended family members, if they haven't seen them for a while, commenting on their weight, that can have a really negative impact on a young person's self-esteem and body image, unfortunately. Yeah.
Definitely, especially because young people, their bodies are changing so much and they need, you know, to eat large amounts of food because they're growing. So for people to kind of throw these comments during this transitional period, you can see how, you know, hormones going, it's not going to land very well.
Absolutely. And I think, like, I know for me personally, I was like a very conventionally skinny person before I hit puberty, and it wasn't until I hit puberty that my metabolism really slowed down. And so I went through like such drastic body image changes. And I think for like family members to like react to that can kind of make you almost put the blame on yourself, but your body is just naturally doing what it needs to do. It's like, you're becoming a woman, you know, it's like you need fat on your body so that, you know, you can bear a child. Not that you have to bear a child, but if we look at, like, you know, the kind of, from it from an evolutionary perspective of biology, it's like that's what your body was made to do.
You're definitely right. Your body is going to change in so many different ways throughout so many different periods, and just kind of allowing it to, even with your hormones, you know, you just things that are just happening, just, you know, got to have a little bit of compassion, self-compassion.
Yeah, and sometimes it's easier said than done, right?
It is. And I guess you were talking a little bit about the expectations. Could you talk about the experiences of maybe expectations, anything that came out for young people?
Yeah. So I think it's really interesting because, you know, I was doing this work over a year and a half. And when I started, the expectation was like big boobs, big bum, really skinny waist, skinny legs. And then now they're kind of like, oh, I don't know if that's the same. They'll kind of say, oh, it kind of feels like it's like medium boobs, medium bum, and kind of just, they speak to this idea that, which I'm sure like anyone who's kind of in the body image space is aware of, that, you know, unfortunately body image kind of, the expectations almost go through like a trend cycle. So, you know, yeah, if we look at like 5 years ago, kind of like the Kim K look was like big boobs, big bum. And now even we look at the Kardashians and their bodies have changed drastically in those 5 years and almost have set a new precedent of like what the beauty standard is, which I think can be really damaging for young people because, you know, how do you keep up? And you can't really. And when a lot of those like role models, that's not like their natural body type as well. So it's like the only way you could really attain that is through, you know, plastic surgery and things like that. Especially if you're like 16 and you're like, oh, I'm supposed to look like that. Like that's, can be pretty challenging.
Definitely. I think that comparison's a big thing. And then plastic surgery is also, but then like attraction, boys and girls are attracted to so many different body types that this one type of image really isn't something to want to be like or compare like, because the person that you like might like a different body type, or just not even a body type, like a personality. Like there's so many different components that make a good couple, and the compatibility, you know, interests, values, there's so many things that really come into it. Where if you're going for this one type of body type that you think everyone's going to like, or that's not yours, maybe yours is exactly what someone else is looking for.
100%. And I think that's really beautiful. And I think also what I really wanted to encourage young people in the workshops was to kind of realize that, you know, they're so much more than their body, and that the body, that, you know, your body is like probably the least interesting thing about you. And I think that's something that I use to kind of remind myself all the time as well, when I find myself being too critical of my own body.
And it seems like you've learned a lot of things from the kids and from facilitating these groups.
Yeah, 100%. I think just being reminded of like how important it is to kind of be compassionate to yourself and kind of, you know, work on your own body image. I think it's unfortunately, it's a lifelong journey, especially as women, you know, our bodies go through so many changes. And so it's always like a reminder to be like, I've got to keep, you know, working on it and keep looking after myself and being kind to my body.
I love that, the kindness. Yeah. And I guess, is there anything else from the groups that you kind of wanted to talk about or you thought was really kind of interesting or valuable?
Yeah, I guess I think this, like the harsh reality is, I think with social media, you know, body image challenges aren't going away. So I guess the more that young people are able to talk about it and have support, the better. And I think, you know, there's still so much more that can be done in schools. And I think, yeah, I think we're quite under-resourced. I think we need a lot more resources and more accessible resources as well. So I think there's a lot of structural change that needs to happen to support young people. But yeah, I think I'm always amazed by young people. Like, I think they have the answers, but they need to be given the space to talk about their feelings and feel supported and know that what they're going through is okay. And that, you know, giving them that sense of hope that they will kind of get through those really challenging periods.
Yes, definitely. And was there any kind of talk in the schools around what was being taught in schools?
Yeah, that's interesting. Not so much, but that's something I would love to kind of learn more about, how like PDHP is kind of navigating health at the moment. I think there have been considerable changes in the kind of curriculum. I think that's one great thing, is curriculums are constantly being evolved and adapted. But that's not something I know heaps about. Yeah, because we kind of looked at more a generic point of view, but I'd love to know more.
Yes, I definitely would too, because I remember when I was in school, it was like obesity and you only eat healthy food and there's no in between and this is a problem. Yeah. You need it. Like, these foods are good and these are bad. Like, sugar is the worst. Never eat it. And all these kids are like eating, getting rewarded like lollies and chocolates and eating lollies every day. Like, that's just
it's like mixed messages.
Yes. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of young people that still have somewhat of that relationship with food where they're trying different foods and that's completely normal. And then they get told all this diet culture and body and like they just want to be kids and go to parties or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think the really challenging thing is, I think if maybe they're getting taught some of those things in PE, but I think the reality is so much of that messaging is coming from online. And the hard thing is we can't, you know, it's very hard to kind of control that. As like the algorithm, you know, if a young person isn't, you know, realizing the harmful impacts of some of that messaging, they might just be consuming it on a daily basis on, you know, Instagram Reels or TikTok or whatever kind of form of social media they use. So I think that can be really challenging. But I guess like one thing that young people can do is if they are finding they're getting a lot of those kind of that kind of content on their social media, they can mute. I don't know if you use this function as well, but yeah, you can like mute, click on a post and press the mute button and it'll say like, do you not want to see content like this? And you say yes, and it just kind of filters out some of those messages. I think that's a really important tool that young people can use.
Definitely. But then you still get all that content that you can't control on like TikTok and things like that.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, exactly. Muting is great, but it's like, how much can you mute, really? Yeah.
And I guess how young were the kids that you were seeing, like the age ranges?
Yeah. So we predominantly just worked with so year 10 to year 12, so kind of 15 to 18, just because that age group is a little bit easier to have these kind of conversations with, because I think there's like a level of maturity to kind of talk about some of those more challenging things. But with that being said, I think the education should start from a really young age. But in terms of like having those open conversations, a little bit challenging when they're younger.
Definitely. And I guess, did anyone talk about social media and their experience of that, you know, coming into this new social media kind of world?
Yeah, I think a lot of young people kind of felt the pressure to kind of display themselves in a really perfect way and like to always look perfect and like putting a lot of pressure on their social media appearance and that kind of generating a lot of anxiety. And then that comparison part as well. Some young people would talk about, you know, kind of feeling left out as well, like always like seeing what everyone in the year group is doing. And it almost feels like, it's a performance, it's a show. And you have to be like always putting your like best face forward, which can be just like a lot of pressure and, you know, not something that everyone can feel that they can do, and nor should they.
No, that would be so difficult, even going to school with all these people and then trying to put forth this perfect picture. I guess outside of that, you know, being an adolescent, like what they're kind of showing to each other, it would be, you know, very hard if you're just starting to work and just starting to jump into like this society and, you know, trying to juggle everything, especially studying.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And I guess, do you have any advice maybe for any teenagers?
Yes. Okay. Advice time. I guess my advice would be kind to yourself and know that there is support out there and there are people who will listen to what you're going through. Yeah, that's my advice.
That is great advice. It seems like a lot of people are going through these experiences. So yeah, thank you so much for bringing them forth for us to listen to, because yeah, it's just so prevalent and it's just so not great to hear, but it's also important to hear. So thank you.
Thanks, Jessie. I really appreciate your time.
Before we end this episode, I did have a little update. So the podcasts are now going to be released every fortnight over every week. So thanks for understanding.
Well, that's the end of today's episode. Please subscribe, leave us a comment or a review. If you would also like to learn more about Body Matters services, you can check out our website at bodymatters.com.au. Thanks for listening.